Welcome to Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Samach Dalet, chapter 64. This is a short chapter in which the people plead with Hashem to have mercy upon them. The Nevi begins by describing the great power of Hashem. Kikdoach esh hamasi mayim tive esh, like the kindling of a fire that melts like water bubbling from fire. Lahudia shimcha letzarecha mipanecha goyim yirgazu, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that nations will tremble at your presence. Hashem's wrath here is referred to as scalding hot fire and boiling hot water. There were many times in history when Hashem displayed his wrath with both fire and water together. Perhaps the most famous was the plague of hail in Egypt, in which the two were miraculously combined. Another example happened in the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet. He performed a great miracle to show Hashem's dominion, in which he called for a fire to come from heaven to consume his offering instead of the one offered to idolatry. To make the miracle greater, he covered the offering in water and even made a moat, so that in the end, the miracle was a combination of fire and water. These miracles, as well as many others, were performed to show Hashem's power, completely defying nature. When you did wonders, we dared not hope for. Like we saw in the last chapters, Hashem did great miracles in the past that we did not deserve. And not only did you do those miracles, Yaradata mipanecha harim nazolu, you came down and mountains melted before you when you gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. Umeolam lo shamu lo hezinu, such things had never been heard of or noted. Ayin lo ra'asa elokim zulasecha ya'asel mecha kelo, no eye has seen a God beside you who would act for those who wait for him. The miracles that Hashem has performed for the Jewish people are unparalleled in any way. And now the Nevi describes the experience of the Jewish people in exile. Quite a contrast. Pagata es sas ve'osik tzedek. You have smitten those who rejoice in doing righteousness. Hashem, you destroy the tzaddikim. Bidrachacha is karucha, those who would remember your ways. You became angry because we sinned before we had them and had been saved. We sinned in exile and relied too much on the righteous to save us. Because all Jews are responsible for one another, Hashem in his mercy judges us all together, and thus the righteous can save the sinners. Here we lament that Hashem took away the righteous, as we saw at the beginning of chapter 57, Hashem takes away the righteous before punishment in order to spare them from seeing the suffering of their brethren and in order to inspire the people to do tshuva. But instead of heeding the warning, the people complain, they were protecting us before and now we have no protection left. They would do good deeds and pray for us and reveal your merciful ways in prayer. It was their prayers that saved us before and now we don't have them to save us. Vanehi katame kulanu, and we have all become defiled, uchaveged idim kol tzidkoseinu, and our righteousness is like a worn-out garment. Radak explains that the righteousness of those who were left over is called garment because it was external. Their actions were not pure and sincere. When an expensive garment is worn out, not only does it not beautify, it even takes away. Me'am Lo'e suggests that this verse offers a descriptive mashal. We said before that Hashem combines all of us into one in order to judge us favorably. Here the nation is compared to a garment. The righteous people were like patches on worn-out clothing. All together, the garment was able to function. But once those patches were removed, the holes were exposed, and the garment was too damaged to even be worn. V'navel ke'ale kulanu, we all wither like a leaf. V'avoneinu karuach yisa'unu, and like a wind, our sins carry us off. Our sins have made us wither like a leaf and cause us to be dispersed all over the earth. Ve'en korei v'shimcha, and there is no one to call in your name, misorer l'hachazik bach, to awaken, to call on you. Who is it that is not here to call in your name? Some commentaries say that it is those mentioned in verse 4, the righteous that Hashem removes from our midst. In this case, the awakening would be reflexive. They do not arouse themselves to hold on to you like they did when they were alive. Some explain that those who do not call here are the prophets. Because of our sins, we no longer have prophets that urge us to call on your name, nor do we have them to arouse us to repent. Ki starta fanecha mimenu, for you have hidden your face from us. Vatimugenu biyad avonenu, and made us melt because of our sins. When you hide your face from us, we retreat as well, out of shame from our sins and anger at our punishments. Va'ata Hashem avinu ata. And now, Hashem, you are our Father. Despite the distance and retreat described in the last verse, you are our Father, and that love is boundless and never goes away. Anachnu hachomer va'ata yotzreinu. Like we say on the night of Yom Kippur in Slichos and every Matzei Shabbos in song, we are the clay and you are our potter. U'ma'asei yadecha kulanu. We are the work of your hands. We are the proverbial putty in your hand, completely powerless and at your mercy. Al tiktsof Hashem ad ma'od. So do not become very enraged, any more than you already are. Va'ala ad tizkor avon. And do not remember our iniquity forever. Hein habet na amcha chulanu. Behold, look, please. We are all your nation. Despite our sins, we have never abandoned faith in you. Even when the Jews were serving idols and sinning terribly, they always believed in Hashem. Even at our lowest points, we have always identified as your nation. No matter what that distance, that connection has never been broken. After attempting to arouse Hashem's mercy on his people, the Navi attempts to do the same for his city. Arei kodshecha hayu midbar. Your holy cities have become desert. Tzion midbar ha'isa. Zion has become a desert. Yerushalayim shmama. Jerusalem a desolation. This is the verse that one is supposed to recite when tearing one's garment upon seeing the ruins of Jerusalem. Beis kadshenu v'sifartenu asher hilulcha avosenu hayal esreifas esh. The house of our holiness and splendor, where our fathers praise you, has become burned with fire. The purpose of the temple was to serve Hashem and sing his praises. Our ancestors, the Levim, sang Hashem's praises in the temple as part of the service. Me'am Loe says that while the house referred to here is, of course, the temple, the fathers do not refer to those who actually saw the temple itself and served in it. Instead, the fathers refer to our actual forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who recognized the holiness of the Temple Mount even before the building of the temple and reinforced it as a place of connection between man and God by serving him there. Avraham performed the binding of Yitzchak. Yitzchak himself was ready to give up his life. And Yaakov prayed there and gave an offering. This place, which since the beginning of the Jewish people has been a point of connection, service of God, and a place to sing his praises, is now burned to the ground. And as if the destruction of the temple itself is not enough, v'chol machamadeinu haya lecharba, and all that we desire is ruined. What is this thing that we desire? Some commentaries point out that looking back at the past two verses, you can see a progression. The verses describe first the loss of the holy cities, then Jerusalem itself, and finally the temple. Following that progression, all that we desire would logically refer to a place that is even more special than the temple, the Holy of Holies, as each clause has described a place in increasing order of holiness. If you look closely, you will also see that the destruction gets worse with each place. The holy cities are described as a desert. Worse than that, Jerusalem is desolate. The temple is burned in flames, and the Holy of Holies is in complete ruin. Other commentaries say that all that we desire is not a physical place, but the Torah, as Torah is often described as the object of our desire. In keeping with what we have just described, Torah is left for last because it is the most beloved. All of these things, so dear to us, have been lost. After listing them and their current states of desolation, we turn to Hashem and say, Ha'al Eila Sis Apek Hashem, will you restrain yourself in response to all of these, Hashem? Techashe Usa'aninu Admaod, will you be silent and let us suffer so much? When you see this destruction, how can you refrain from having mercy upon us? And when we beg you to restore them, how can you ignore our prayers? Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.